afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology related questions.
That's right, Kev. It is a Wednesday afternoon, 4:30 here. It's time for The Computer Guys. Give us a call, 395-1450. It looks like the phone lines are open here, so we invite you to give us a call, 395-1450. We'd love to help you out or give you some advice if you're out and about shopping for the holiday season here, need some technology advice.
That's right. Or you can send us an email, computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you're at a computer, you're having a problem, or you just want to send us an email, go ahead. It's computerguys@whtc.com.
That's right. Well, Kev, the first of all, some of the big news, I'd actually like to recognize all the people who download our podcast.
Exactly.
It is quite a few, and not only are there quite a few, turns out people from all around the world like to listen to us.
That's right. We checked out the map. We were talking to Josh this week. He let us know, Josh, the podcast master.
Podcast master.
And he's been administering that for us. And we saw this map, basically, of where all these people were downloading from. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. So we'd like to thank everyone. If you're not currently downloading our iPod, our podcast, podcast through your iPod or your iTunes, the easiest way is to have iTunes installed on your computer. And if you have an iPod, that'll be already be on there. And go to basically this music store and search for WHTC, and we'll come up number one.
That's right.
So if
you
have
like
iTunes,
coming up number one?
If you have iTunes, just go to the store, search for WHTC, and it's real simple. You just click on it. So
that's right. And if you don't have iTunes, it's a free download. All you have to do is type in, it's probably just, what is it, iTunes.com? I don't even know if I've ever.
Just go to Apple.com.
Apple.com, iTunes link right there on their main page. Go ahead and download that. That's free. Yeah, it's a big commitment if you have dial-up. So if you have dial-up, you might want to let it pass. If you really want a copy of the show, let us know. We'll figure out some way for you to get
sign up for DSL.
There you go. Starting at $14.99. Get yourself a high-speed internet connection, then you can listen to us anytime you want, which is always, you know, a good thing.
Well, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
The best part of waking up. It's us in your ears.
Give us a call. You're 395-1450. But, it'd be interesting to maybe get an email from one of those listeners
somewhere.
Oh,
that'd be great. So if you're, if you're outside the United States.
Or even outside of Holland.
Outside of Holland, exactly. Outside of Holland, send us an email. And it's, again, computerguys@whtc.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your questions or what you think. So go ahead and send us an email.
That's right. And right now the phone lines are open. So give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be happy to take any calls here this afternoon. Well, Kev, not a lot necessarily in the news this week. There's, I thought this was kind of funny. Iran is blocking access to YouTube. And if you've never been to YouTube, you know, there's always these different sites that come along and, you know, videos and funny things like that. But YouTube.com, YouTube, it's just got all kinds of funny videos on there and different things like that. So anyway, Iran has decided that they don't want people to go to YouTube. So YouTube's popularity brings millions of web users to the site each day, but fans in Iran won't be able to log on. The country's government has blocked the video sharing site, and those who try to access it see a message that that says it's saying it's not authorized on the basis of Iranian law. So I thought that was kind of crazy.
You know what? I'm guessing the you know, the government stepped in. They said, you know what? We realize that YouTube causes people to waste a lot of time. So we don't want our country to be wasting time. We're just going to block it out altogether.
That's right. Well, it's there's some funny videos on there. There's some videos, though. I question why anyone would upload those.
That they're too personal or they're too dumb?
Well, I mean, like, dumb.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, how many people have watched that? Even though it's a complete waste of their time, they've
you
watched
know,
it.
I'm guilty of that because last night I found myself for about 15 watching public access.
Oh,
and
no.
Those guys were on there.
See, I don't get that channel. So, what were they?
Well, if you don't have cable, that's
just shooting the breeze.
Oh, yeah. It's they're on there chatting it up.
There you go. Is it like a call-in?
Yeah, people call in.
Okay, that's not bad.
A lot of times they get pranks from the kids.
Yeah, that's a problem with going live like that. I understand. Yeah.
I don't know if we've ever been pranked on the show. Not that we're inviting anyone to do that, but.
You shouldn't have said that. You know what's coming.
No, I think one person we had to hang up on.
That's true.
So, but anyway, so iranblocksyoutube.com. And if you're looking for a website that, you know, if you're thinking to yourself, boy, why have this high-speed internet connection? But I don't know. There's really no sites out there. Like, this is a pretty fun site. They've got everything. But it's, like I said, there are some pointless videos on there as well.
Exactly. And sometimes they advertise videos that aren't actually what they are. So you have to be a little careful.
Well, I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah. The title really has nothing to do with what the video is actually about. So you can find yourself getting into that, too. So, you know, just be prepared to waste some time. Some good, some bad, some pretty hilarious stuff, though.
So now, Kev, here we are. We're gearing up for the holiday season. We've probably got some listeners out there, out and about, doing some shopping. Maybe they're not familiar with all the different types of technology. And not everybody has, you know, $500, $1,000 to spend on a new computer.
Exactly.
Some different gadgets to buy.
Sure. You talking inexpensive?
Inexpensive. Thumb drives.
Yep, that's true.
Think those about like a little flash drive. You know, yep. If you're looking for a little stocking stuffer type thing. There are these little drives. They call them thumb drives or flash drives. Sure. And they can hold, boy, most of them are, you know, right around a gig or so.
Yep, anywhere from, you know, 256 megs to a gig or beyond. Beyond a gig gets a little bit more expensive. So, great little stocking stuffer for anybody you know who has a computer. It's essentially replaced the floppy. So
that's right. Well, I'll continue on with some more of my suggestions of what our listeners can give us in just a second here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. This is Ron calling.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you know, the holidays are upon us. And, you know, people out here don't have a lot of money. Some people are in hard times, and they're looking for the perfect gift for family and mainly children to get into computers and gaming and all that. But I'm worried, you know, a lot of these companies are putting their so-called top-of-the-line computers on sale for low dollar value. Now, when people go out to buy a computer, are they really getting the best deal for their money when they're buying a $400, $500 computer? Or should they add the little extra and get the $8,000, $9,000 computer to look at possible future working conditions, you know, for the children and things like that?
Yeah, well, if you the big thing is, you know, how long you want to keep it around for. Because, you know, a lot of those entry-level, the $300, $400 computers, a lot of the times they come with a little bit of a slower processor, usually not as much memory. And so usually the difference between, like, the $300 and even, like, a $500 or $600 computer is a big difference.
Right. Well, so, that's what I'm getting at. You know, you look in the papers, you see certain styles of computers for $500, $400, and sometimes that's what's within a budget for a family, and they're looking at maybe their first real home computer, and then when they get it, they find out, you know, it's not all what it should be, and in 3-4 months down the road, they have to get it upgraded. So, yeah. You know, some good practical advice for families when they're going out computer shopping and things like that, you know, be greatly appreciated. And also, guys, you got the best show on the air and wish you were back on Saturdays for the hour.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
Have a great holiday.
Hey, thanks, you too. Well, that is a good point because it's I don't know, I kind of equate it to going out and you're going to buy a truck.
Sure.
And you see one and it's kind of like getting a, let's say, a full-size pickup truck, and then you get it home and you find out it has a 4-cylinder engine in it.
Yep.
It's going to get you home.
Sure. It'll drive down the road.
Yeah, okay. It'll get you to home, but it's not going to be able to, what?
Well, I'm just saying, it depends on what you're looking for.
Right, but I'm saying if the most inexpensive computer that you can buy.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but now, again, if that's all you need to do, like if you have, all you're going to use a computer for is word processing and internet access, those $300 computers would work just fine.
Exactly. But planning ahead, the life expectancy of the computer, generally, you'd say if you buy that really budget system, you're probably not going to have it quite as long. You might end up finding, hey, you know what? I like using the computer. I'd like to get more into it, you know, do some more computer intensive tasks, spend more time on it, you know, start running some other programs. Oh, it doesn't quite cut it anymore. So in a year, 2 years, you're looking at buying another faster computer. Had you just invested a little more up front, you probably wouldn't have to do that.
So I'd say, just as a really generic rule of thumb right now, you know, $600 is starting point for just the hardware, you know, not including the office software, the antivirus or anything.
Exactly.
So,
and something else to look out for, you know, there's somebody will put together a cheap package deal and throw in, you know, 19-inch flat panel. Well, not all flat panels are created equal, and in 1 year, that flat panel may be no good anymore. So you got to look at the quality of the components.
If it's a Dell or a Hewlett Packard or sure. a Gateway flat panel, those are all pretty good.
Yep. But if it's somebody who you've never known to make flat panels, all of a sudden makes flat panels, you might want to watch out.
That's right. Yeah.
Well,
let's go ahead, Kev, go to the phone lines here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yes, I know a young man serving in Iraq, and he just called me today and wondered if I could get him a laptop computer and ship it to Iraq. And I just wondered if you've ever done that or if you know if that's possible. Is it possible to ship something that far? How much would that cost? Is it even a good idea? And also, what would the cost be of a good laptop?
Sure. A couple of questions. That young man, my guess is he's in the military.
Yes.
Okay. So when you send something to somebody over there, where does it go through? Is it totally care of the military?
Yeah, it's an ATO.
So you're going to be a little bit safer when you send something via the military post, which goes through the U.S. post. Mm-hmm. And the reason is it's going to have to cross customs at some point. Now, if you send something by way of, you know, Iraqi mail, he may or may not get that laptop. My guess is not.
Right.
So you're going to be a little bit safer that way. Mm-hmm. You know, and as long as it's packaged properly and insured, you mm-hmm. definitely want to insure it if at all possible. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to arrive okay.
Okay.
So that's a possibility. As far as what can you pay for a good laptop, I mean, it really depends. If he's just looking at something, you know, to communicate, send some email, get on the internet, mm-hmm. It's probably not going to be all that expensive. You know, you could probably do something, a good laptop that's not going to be outdated in a year or two, you know, $800 to $1,000.
Okay.
Now, if he's going to be wanting to play games and, you know, want to run the new version of Windows when it comes out, mm-hmm. and more multimedia, you're going to be paying a little bit more than that.
Okay. Any idea what the cost would be to ship something like?
And now, it's the APO. Are there discounted rates?
Well, I think it would just be the same rate as if you were sending something to another state, because I just use a regular first-class postage stamp, you know, on a letter.
Okay. So you're paying, you know, if you're going to ship it, usually if we ship via FedEx or UPS, it's around $15 to $20, depending on what you insure it.
Okay.
So I'm guessing it's going to fall in that range, about $20-$25 bucks.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Bye.
And one other thing, too, I'd note is to add an accidental warranty to it.
Exactly.
Because
we've had a couple.
Yeah, we've had a couple. And
they've served a tour or two of duty and overseas, and they pretty much came back destroyed.
But for $300 to $400, now, if you buy a $600 laptop, you don't want to spend $300 to $400 on an extended warranty, obviously, yeah. But... man, they're nice. You know, Dell, it's kind of a no questions asked unless they look at it and there are hammer marks on it or something.
Intentional damage, that's the one problem that they have. But a cracked LCD, I mean, it involves everything from spilling on it to dropping it. You know, falls off the roof of your car and you back over it, it's probably going to be covered. So it's worth it with the cost of replacing parts in a laptop, you know, a motherboard, several hundred dollars, an LCD, several hundred dollars. It pays for itself right there. If it's going to be sitting at a desk, and it's never going to be moved, and you're not really going to eat or drink around it, you'll probably never use it.
I think we worked on one that came in, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
An incoming mortar round.
Yeah, it hit their vehicle, and it fell off the table. This thing was just worked over. But
so anyway,
we had talked to Dell on that one, and even though it fell outside the warranty, we explained the situation to them, and they took care of it.
Pretty crazy. Let's go ahead, go back to the phone lines. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Scott. I'm a longtime listener, second-time caller.
Hey, Scott.
Called you guys a couple weeks ago about a computer. Got a quick question for you. I got a computer upstairs. It's getting a little colder out. I haven't turned it on for about probably a month and a half now. And my upstairs is obviously probably about 60, 62 degrees. Is that something I should worry about? Should I go up there and turn it on more frequently?
Not for that. If you said it was like 35 to 40... then you'd want to let it warm up a little bit more to, you know, 50, 60 degrees, somewhere in there. But, you know, if it's already in the low 60s, it's not a problem.
No, you don't need to worry about it.
If you keep it outside in your garage, then, you know, you want it. Like, for instance, a lot of time now in the winter, people will leave a laptop in their car. Mm-hmm. You want to bring it inside. Let it warm up for a little bit.
Okay. Should I worry about not having turned my computer on for so long?
No. Is it plugged in?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really need to worry about it.
Okay.
Shouldn't have any problems.
Hey, guys, appreciate your show. I love it. I know it's not Saturday mornings, but I love listening to it at this time. I really do enjoy it. So.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Thanks for all your help, guys.
Yep.
Bye. See ya.
Yeah, that is a couple notes on that. If it is below 40 degrees, you really want to let it acclimate for 6 to 12 hours. Probably a little bit longer, you know, on the longer side of that if it's a laptop. And the reason is condensation. You know, when you bring something in from cold to warm, you start getting condensation on those components. And if you turn it on prematurely, you can do some damage to your computer. Now, most of the time, it probably won't be an issue, but if it happens once, that's enough. So we, you know, recommend definitely letting it acclimate for a period of time.
Unless you're like me and you get a new computer and you just can't wait.
Just too excited. You got to pop that baby open.
Yeah.
Start using it. So it happens. And, you know, they're built to withstand a certain amount of, you know, temperature change. But if you can avoid it, it's better.
Let's go back to the phone lines here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hi. I was wondering if... you have heard of relay calls and what they are. I got a call last night saying some operator has a relay call for me, and I had never heard of it before, and I said I won't accept it and hung up. But
yeah, well, what they are is, for instance, if you're hard of hearing or if you're deaf, mm-hmm. What you do is you have a special kind of like computer monitor terminal sitting where your phone would go. Mm-hmm. And so if you're deaf and you need to make a phone call, that would be hard since... can't really do sign language over the phone. So what they have are these relay centers where the person on, you know, who's calling you sits in front of like a keyboard and screen and they type. And so most of the time those are legitimate calls.
Okay.
It's basically an operator who yep. reads you whatever they're typing and then they type out and send back to the actual caller.
And does this cost the person who's being called anything?
No, it doesn't cost you anything.
I wasn't sure. I thought maybe it was a scam or something.
No, but there are some scams because part of the way the relay works is it's protected. So you can't actually tell who's calling other than what information they give you. You can't tell where they're from. You know, caller ID doesn't really show anything. The operator's not at liberty to tell you any information about the caller. Okay. And so scam artists will use that to protect their identity. So we've had them where people have called our office via a relay call and said that they were looking for a laptop, gave some general specs, an email address, and said, okay, we want to buy five of them. We'll give you $2,000 for each one. Immediately, you're kind of like, this is a little bit bizarre. So, you know, we corresponded via email, did some tracking on where they were sending their emails from, found out it was coming from Africa. We don't get a lot of business from Africa, so definitely a scam. So it doesn't hurt to accept it, but just be aware of what might be happening on the other end. If you've won some $10 million prize, if you just send $1,000 here, probably don't go ahead with it.
Right. Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Bye.
But they are legitimate.
They are. Yep, and those relay centers are out there to help, you know, the hearing impaired. So first time it happened to me, I had no idea what it was. I had to learn all about it. So, and if you do accept it, they do tell you a little bit about what a relay call is. You don't need to worry about it. There aren't any charges for accepting the call. But again, can be used to scam you, just like anything else.
Yeah, they were willing to pay top dollar.
Oh, yeah.
See, now, I've been to Africa once. Maybe it was somebody I met over there.
Sure, did you try and sell some laptops? Tell them what you did. Hey, I sell laptops.
It'd be a long way to have to drive if they had any problems.
Exactly. It's definitely outside the service area. Unless they were paying.
Yeah, we have a couple emails here, computerguys@whtc.com. This emailer says, where can I take old computers and scanners that no longer work? The best recommendation, and as far as I know, they will accept what pretty much everything other than screens that are physically broken, yep. like CRTs.
Like cracked glass on yep. your monitor, don't take it to them.
Yep, is Goodwill. They've mm-hmm. got a Goodwill on the south side of Holland, on South Washington, as well as on... Lakewood, kind of by Walmart, Sam's Club over there.
That's right. And they are partnered with Dell for recycling. So basically, they will recycle and refurbish whatever they can, and the rest of it gets disposed of properly. So that is a great, safe way. Doesn't cost you anything. Tell your friends it's out there. We don't want this stuff to end up in landfills. Most of the computer parts contain toxic chemicals. It's going to end up in the groundwater. We're going to start growing third arms, you know, that kind of stuff. So let's avoid that. If at all possible, dispose of it properly.
We got a long email here. I'm reading.
No, you're trying to catch up on it. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to read. There's a little news blip here about Microsoft, and they've issued a Word zero-day attack alert. And it's basically a warning saying that if you open a Word document that's been rigged, it can it's basically like a virus that can spread through your computer. So they haven't released a patch to fix this yet. So what they're saying is beware of any Word documents, whether they come from friends or from somebody you don't know. If it does come from a friend, you might want to give them a call and say, hey, did you send this to me? And if they didn't, definitely watch out for that. Or if it's something that they're just passing on, maybe watch out for that as well and not open that until they release this update. But you're definitely going to want to just stay tuned to the news for that, and we'll keep you posted on how to do that. It's repeated from May 2006. There was another sophisticated attack that came from China and Taiwan and used a similar technique. So watch out for those unsolicited emails.
All right, Gab, we have another email here, computerguys@whtc.com. This is from Martha, and she is wondering, she has an older Dell Inspiron laptop, and she wants to be able to add a wireless card so she can use it with her DSL gateway, which includes a wireless. So my guess is she has the two-wire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you follow an older Dell laptop. And so she installed the wireless card and was not able to see the wireless signal, even though it was in the same room as the gateway. So she brought it back to where she had purchased her card from and asked them about it, and they said, no, we can see our wireless network here. So it makes her think it's not the computer.
Okay. It is possible that the two-wire, there's a little thing that's called broadcasting, basically, where the router broadcasts the name of the wireless network. Sometimes it's
now,
disabled.
I missed this part. Oh, talk to her DSL provider, and they activated the wireless part of the DSL gateway.
Oh, well, that's
so
good.
So she talked to probably AT&T.
Sure.
And they said, okay, go in here and plug in these numbers and push this button, and okay, it works now.
Okay. So let's just refresh that. The gateway is connecting wirelessly already?
Allegedly.
Allegedly, according to the email.
The first thing I would do is find out if you have a friend who has a laptop that's already that you know works with other wireless, and have them bring it to your house and see if they can see your wireless signal.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can't see it, then you're probably going to need to contact the internet provider again and see, because they can walk you through it since she probably gets it through them.
Sure.
So, and if they bring it over and your friend can't see the wireless,
then that's probably more of an issue with that piece of equipment. The other thing is, some of the cards that you pop in your laptop to make it wireless ready, if it's older than Windows XP, uses its own connection software, client software, and some of that stuff is incredibly confusing.
Oh, man, it can be.
So that could be your issue, too. It could be that when you brought it in to the shop or wherever you bought the card from, those people knew how to manipulate that software to have it look for the network. So it could just be an issue of knowing how to use that software. So some variables in there, but a couple things to try.
It's a lot easier on Windows XP.
Oh, so much easier.
Unfortunately, on Windows 98, Windows 2000, Millennium.
Yep.
It's not so easy.
No, it's not so easy at all.
So, Martha, if that didn't help and you're still completely confused, either send us another email, or you're always welcome to contact us. We're at our office Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. So you can always give us a call there, and hopefully we can help.
That's right. And that's 394-4940 if you need that number.
That's right, Kev. We have another 30 seconds. Is there anything?
Oh, 30 seconds. What can I say in 30 seconds?
You could say we'll be back next Wednesday.
But I could say that. I could also say, you know, watch out because we're going to get a lot of snow tonight.
Well, that's right. I thought it meant more like computer related.
Well, you might want to just have your computer ready so you can check to see if school's closed tomorrow.
I will also say this.
You know what? Checking on the online is a lot faster than waiting for that scroll bar to come to your county and then seeing if your school's closed, especially if there's a lot of closings. There's like 150 the other day. That took 5-6 minutes to go through. Online, boom, boom, boom. You got it.
Or you can always listen to WHTC.
That's right. They'll tell you here too. But anyway, if we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. Our office number is 394-4940. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 833 Maple Avenue. That's the corner of 34th and Maple.
That's right. Well, thanks again to our callers, our listeners, and those who emailed us. And also thanks to all the people who apparently are listening to our podcast. There's quite a few of them out there. So
that's right. And send us an email, podcast listeners. We want to hear from you.
That's right. Sounds good. Well, thanks, everybody, and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of the Holland Area's News and Information Station, 1450 WHTC, Holland.